Let me pray for us as we think about God's word together. Thank you, Father, that you are a promise-keeping God. Thank you that we can always trust you and that what you promise is always good and true. Please, would you help us to understand some more of these glorious promises that Jesus makes in our Bible passage this morning. Help us to delight in them. Help us to trust you for them. And we pray it in his name. Amen. We're at a stage in John's Gospel where Jesus is preparing his disciples for the fact that he's going to leave. Now, I thought it might be good to start by thinking about some situations where other people might prepare us for things, or we might prepare other people for things. So what about you're starting a new school? How might your parents help to prepare you for going to the new school, do you think? What might they do to help prepare you for that? We've lost the picture, but never mind. It'll come back in a minute. What might your parents do to help prepare you for your new school? They might take you on a visit there. Yeah, that's a good idea, so that you can see it, and so that you can meet some of the teachers and that sort of thing. Yeah, yeah, that'd be a great way to prepare you. Yep. Buy you a new uniform. Yeah, if you need a new school uniform, you'd be in trouble if you went without one. Yep, yep. Yep. What might they do? Encourage you to work hard. That'd be a good way of preparing you. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What about this one? Suppose you're just about to go, Mel, I can do the PowerPoint. Are you pressing? It's fine. I'll do it. Thank you. Suppose you're just about to go on a walk in really cold weather. What might Mum and Dad do to prepare you for it? Yeah. You might need a woolly hat, that would be a good idea, and a scarf, and warm coat, lots of layers, maybe wellies, yeah, the right clothing for it, yep. What else might you do to prepare for a walk in the cold? Maybe take a flask of hot drink, yep. Maybe take your mobile phone in case you get stuck in a snowdrift. Lots of things we could do, yep. What about if you're about to have an exam? How might your parents or your teachers prepare you for the exam? Jean? They might pray, yeah. They might pray for you, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, that'd be a great thing, yeah. Are there any teachers here? Do they know what? Lots of revision, yeah, encourage you to do your revision, make sure you get it done, yep, yeah, absolutely. Be good if your teachers taught you what you needed to know. Sleep, yeah, encourage you to get to sleep on time. Yeah, lots of ways. Here's the last one. Suppose Mum or Dad is going away for a little while. How might they prepare you for that?
Fill up the fridge.
Fill up the fridge, yep. That'd be a great one, yep. With the same over here? Yep. Call someone to look after you. Yeah, well, if they were both going away, yeah, definitely. Definitely, that would be a good thing. There was a TV program called Hunted, which involved people kind of going on the run in a pretend sort of way for 28 days. And in one of the series, there was a man who was doing this and going on the run for 28, so he was leaving his family for 28 days while he took part in this TV program. And he recorded 28 bedtime stories for his children so that each night they could listen to him reading a bedtime story. That was how he prepared for going away. Well, Jesus, in this section of John's Gospel, is preparing his disciples for his going away. He's been talking about heading for the cross, and he's preparing them for what life will be like after he's died on the cross and risen and gone back to be with his Father. What will life be like for them then? What's he going to do? How is he going to provide for them when he is no longer physically with them? And that's where these great promises come in, because even better than the parent filling the fridge or preparing you for the exams or helping you get to sleep on time or buying you the new school uniform, whatever it is, what Jesus says he provides for his people when he's gone back to be with his Father is much, much, much better. And that is the situation that we are in now, that time between Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, and when he comes back. So what does he promise? Well, let's read those words again. It's on page 1082, if you've closed the Bible. Let's listen to what Jesus says. He says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Now, Jesus is speaking here to his 12 apostles, his 12 disciples. And some of the things he says here are specific to them. So, for example, a little bit later in our passage, if you look down to verse 26, Jesus says, "This counselor that he'll send, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Now, Jesus must be saying that specifically to the 12 apostles, not generally to us, because the Holy Spirit couldn't remind us of everything that Jesus said to us because we weren't there to hear it in the first place. So he's saying to his apostles, the Holy Spirit will teach them and remind them of everything that he had said to them. Now, that's very good news for us, because that means that what we have written in the Bible, in the New Testament, we can rely on. We know it's true. We know that there's nothing missing that should have been there, and there's nothing there that shouldn't have been there, because Jesus says he would send his Holy Spirit to his apostles so that they could remember everything that he'd said to them and that they could write it down, record it as he wanted. So some of it is specific to them, and that is good news for us, but some of it is much more general. Just look down, for example, at verse 21. Jesus says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Or verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So Jesus is saying here, for anyone who loves him and trusts him and obeys him, then he will send this counselor, or maybe a better word is helper, the Holy Spirit, who will do for his apostles and for us what Jesus did when he was on earth, who would be alongside them, who would be encouraging them, helping them to keep going, living for Jesus, helping them to keep remembering the great truths that Jesus had spoken, enabling them to live for him. And just notice, Jesus says, verse 16, "I will ask the Father to give you another counselor to be with you forever." Forever, all the time. Not just in particular moments when we feel very spiritual, whatever that feels like, when we have particular emotions. Not just in particular moments where we're feeling desperate and we're very conscious of our need of the Holy Spirit, our need of Jesus. No, Jesus says he will be with you forever. He'll be with you all the time. Now let's just see if we can get a handle on what an amazing promise this is. I'm going to read to you some words from the Old Testament. You don't need to turn there, but just listen to these words. This is when Solomon had built his temple. And God had said that he would live in his temple with his people. And Solomon prayed, and he said these words: "Will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built?" Solomon said, "You're so big, God, you're so huge, even the heavens can't contain you. You're too big for that. How can you possibly live in this little temple that I've built? How can that be?" Solomon realized that that couldn't happen. But listen to what Jesus says here. "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." And even more than that, the Spirit of Truth, he says, He lives with you and will be in you. So this God, who is way too big to live even in the temple that Solomon built, Jesus says, this God will come and live with us and in us when he sends his Holy Spirit, whom he has now sent. That's an amazing promise, isn't it? Let's just see if we can illustrate that. It'd be great if somebody could come and help me with this. Would somebody like to come and help? I'm going to have to pick on somebody if nobody volunteers. Would any gardeners like to come and help? Do you want to come and give me a hand? It's not difficult. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Here's our job. Can you see this cushion? Can you hold it? It's quite a big cushion. We need to get that cushion into this matchbox. Okay? How are we going to do it? Can you sort of fold it up? If I hold it here, can you fold the cushion up and put it in? It's not really working, is it?
No.
What if I hold it here and you push the cushion really hard? Okay, push it as hard as you can and see if you can get it in. Now, harder than that, it's not going to go in, is it? How about we put the matchbox on the floor, sit on it and see if it'll go in. How about that? Did it go in? It's not really working, is it? Do you think we'll ever get this cushion into this matchbox? Why not?
Because
it's too big. I think you're right. Thank you for trying. You can go and sit down. Thank you very much. It's too big. There's no way you can get this cushion into this matchbox. But that is what Solomon realized about God. There's no way God could possibly live in his little pokey temple. Even the heavens are too big to contain him. How could God live in that little temple? But here's Jesus' promise. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That is a glorious promise, isn't it? For anybody who trusts in the Lord Jesus, we have his Spirit living in us, counseling us in that language of counselor, helping us, encouraging us, enabling us to keep living for Jesus day by day, to keep remembering his words that he's spoken and recorded through his apostles. That is a glorious truth. Here's the second thing that Jesus says. Who is that person? So if there's a great promise here of his Spirit coming and living in people, who are the people who have his Spirit living in them? Who are they? Well, just notice, a number of times Jesus says in this passage, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Should we just see if we can pick them out? If you've got a Bible in front of you, he says it there in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And then he says it again in verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And then look at verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Verse 24, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And then notice he says the same thing about himself in verse 31. The world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. So lots and lots of times Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my teaching. If you love me, you'll do what I command. I love the Father, and you can see it because I do what he's commanded. So who are the people that Jesus promises his Spirit to? Well, they're the people who love him and therefore obey his commands. So if we want to know God, if we want to know the Lord Jesus, if we want to experience his Holy Spirit at work, well, at least partly that depends on loving him and therefore obeying his commands. Now, let's just think about that again a minute, because we want to make sure we don't get confused by this. Jesus is not saying here, if you obey my commands, then in return I will love you. That's not what he says. He's not saying, if you obey my commands, then the Father will rescue you. You'll be saved from your sins by obeying my commands, and therefore you'll have my Spirit. He's not saying that at all. we know from lots of other places in the Bible, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we're in rebellion against God, when we're his enemies, then he shows his love by sending Jesus to die for us. He's not saying that, but he is saying the person who loves Jesus will show it by the way he lives in obedience to his commands. In 10 days or so's time, it's Valentine's Day. How do you think I might show my love for Eleanor on Valentine's Day? I've got some suggestions here in them. Somebody want to come and pick something out of the bag? Chris, do you want to come and pick something out of the bag? Ooh, what's that? That is a menu for quite a fancy-looking restaurant. Very nice. So I could take Eleanor for a nice Valentine's Day meal. Actually, I couldn't because I'll be here for student focus. But in theory, I could. That'd be one way of showing love for her. What about another one? Somebody else want to pick one out? Jean, would you like to pick one out? Ooh. Flower. There's a few flowers in here, actually. They're looking a bit tired. I probably need some new flowers. Anyway, there's a few more flowers in there. I could buy some flowers. That would be lovely. That would be a nice way of showing my love for her. Thank you. Good suggestion. Anybody else? Anybody else? Jim, thank you.
Surely there's a box of chocolates in here somewhere.
There's a box of chocolates. Look at that. Good suggestion. Thank you. Yeah, that would be a great thing to do. Anybody else? Further back, would you like to? Yep. There we go. Now, probably don't take the flowers because we already have flowers. Shall I take the flowers out? No, they're stuck. Why don't you get something other than flowers? Oh, yeah, that looks nice, doesn't it? What's that? Nice bottle of wine. Yeah, good idea. Thank you. I could buy her a nice bottle of wine. And there's, I think there's one more thing in here. Over there, great. You see right down at the bottom, there's an envelope. Can you open it? Can you see what's inside? Brilliant, thank you. Shall I take the envelope as well? Let's have a look. Ooh. A cleaning voucher. I, Christian John Keane, hereby promise to do all the cleaning, vacuuming, dusting, dishwashing, and anything else which may be required and may reasonably be deemed to be of a cleaning nature of 25 Fleming Way, Exeter, on Thursday the 14th of February 2019, as soon as is reasonably practicable thereafter. Now, it's not very romantic, is it? But it is an expression of love. That is one of the ways I could show my love for my wife, is doing some of those household chores. So lots of different ways that I can show love for Eleanor. Now, none of those things make me love her. It's because I love her that I would do those things for her. And none of those things make her love me. That's not why I'm doing them. I'm not doing them to make her love me. It's because I love her and because I know that she loves me that I want to do those things for her. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying that somehow we can earn his love by obeying his commands. But the person who loves him and is loved by him shows it by obeying his commands, by obeying his teaching. You can't have the one without the other. You can't claim that you love Jesus without obeying him. And it does mean, doesn't it, that just knowing stuff, knowing facts about Jesus is not enough. It's essential, but it's not enough. Jesus says the one who has his spirit is the one who loves him and therefore who obeys him, who wants to do what he wants them to do. Now, it's just worth thinking that through, isn't it? If maybe at the moment we're feeling as though Jesus is quite distant, if at the moment we're thinking, I'm not sure I do have his Holy Spirit. Now, we need to be careful not to put too much store in feelings. It may be that our feelings are wrong. But it is just worth asking the question, am I loving Jesus and showing that in the way that I obey him? In the difficult places, when it's hard to obey my parents, am I thinking, no, I want to do that out of love for Jesus as well as out of love for them? When it's hard not to exasperate my children, am I thinking, no, I'm going to do that out of love for Jesus? When it's hard to obey him in maybe resisting that temptation, which we always find hard to resist, thinking, no, I love Jesus, I'm going to obey him in that. That is the person, says Jesus, who has his Spirit. We don't earn his Spirit by doing it, but the evidence that we have his Spirit is that we love him and we long to obey his teaching. What a glorious promise that is. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, says Jesus. Should we thank him for those glorious promises that we've seen this morning? Father, thank you so much that Jesus didn't leave his disciples as orphans when he went to be with you in glory. And thank you that he hasn't left us as orphans. Thank you for that great promise of his Spirit living in all those who trust him and love him and obey him. Please, by his Spirit, might he increase our love for him and therefore make us more and more long to obey his commands and his teaching. And please might we take great comfort in that truth, knowing that he has given his Spirit to be our helper, our counselor, to enable us day by day to keep trusting him and living for him. We pray it all in his name for his glory. Amen.